Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on this cold weekend as we head into next week. I know a lot of people that are traveling today are probably even headed through spring break, headed to the warmer weather, to the beaches, or at least to where it seems more like spring. But for us back in Iowa, we will continue on, and sounds like we've got it next week. But if you're traveling down the highway today and you've turned it on at KBOE 104.9 FM, I just want to thank you so much for being a part of not only this radio station, but of our ministry with Vital Ministries. And we just pray that you, as you travel today, that you travel safely, you get there safe, and that it's just a good day. And I want to thank you for turning on the radio today and listening to us. And then also, too, many of you are headed on your way to church this morning to worship, to celebrate for what the Lord has done and has your week has been through. I hope today, as sometimes we go through tough weeks, sometimes I call them hell weeks, but I pray that this morning, as you go to church this morning, you get heaven today. As the pastor speaks to you and opens up the Word of God, and you get an opportunity to worship. And also, too, many of you have shared with me, Mike, this is my Sunday morning time of getting into the Word and also to listening to the inspiration of how the Holy Spirit speaks. I just want to thank you for listening today and give a big shout out to everyone out there today as well. But before we get started this morning, we got some events that are coming up that you're not going to want to miss. Now, this first event is for men only. It's coming up April 2nd at the Lighthouse Church in New Sharon. We have a men's breakfast from 7 to 8 o'clock, the first Saturday morning of each month. Now, this is going to be our last one because we're actually going to be taking a break after April because we just know we live in what I would call ag country in where we live, and also too in construction and hands-on work of what's going on, and people just like being outside. So we will take a break going into the fall. This will be our last one, so you're not going to want to miss it. Again, that's April 2nd, and that will be at the Lighthouse Church in New Sharon from 7 to 8 o'clock in the morning. We are going to feed you what I call a hearty man's breakfast. You're going to enjoy the fellowship, and then we'll do an inspirational word. I will open up the word and share with you and give you a nugget, I hope, not only for the day, but an inspiration for your life as well. Also, too, our next event coming up, I'm excited about this. Now, this event is for everybody. This means for a family-friendly event, and that's coming April 10th. We're going to be back out to the barn on the south side, the Celebration Barn, and where they do a lot of weddings. Debbie Cedrill out there owns that. She does a beautiful job, her and Denny, and just really appreciate their grace and their giving and helping us out so much in Vital Ministries. But we'll be doing that on April 10th. It starts from 5 to 7 o'clock. So what we're going to do, we're wanting people to come a little bit early, and the reason why, we've got a special keynote speaker. She is a prophet. Her name is Julie Green. You can get on YouTube and check out some of the stuff that she's speaking about. She's going to give us a good word that I believe will be an inspiration for everyone who comes. So you're not going to want to miss it. So this is how this is going to play out. You've come about 15 minutes early. We are going to feed you. We're going to give you food, nourishment for the family. That way you can have fellowship with other people. We do that first. That's because that's what Jesus did. He first opened up people and fed them physically before he fed them spiritually. And then the next thing we're going to do is going to have worship music. Our Vital Ministries worship band will be performing. They'll do a great job. I know Dale Nelson, he does a phenomenal job of picking out the right songs at the right time. He and both Heather, they do a beautiful job in singing. You're not going to want to miss it. It's probably, in my mind, it's one of the best worship teams in Southeast Iowa. You're not going to want to miss that as well. And then also, too, after that, we will have the inspirational word from the prophet Julie Green. And it's going to be an exciting time. I'm going to encourage you, make sure that you come early, because I got it. My gut feeling tells me that we are going to have a packed house. So you're going to want to come a little bit early. We're going to feed you right off the bat, and it's going to be a great time. And again, that's on April 10th at Debbie's Celebration Barn from 5 to 7 o'clock in the evening. We will get you out in good time. Matter of fact, with daylight savings time coming, which is today, I hope that all of you remember to turn your clocks ahead. Otherwise, you are running an hour late this morning. You don't want to miss that as well. So again, just a lot of stuff coming on. We're in the midst of as we move, and we're going to transition this morning. We're going to look at a new our teaching. This is our second week, and our teaching is from mission to destiny, and we're going to look at today a night encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus. A late night conversation that helps a man looking for answers who was on a mission to find truth about Jesus and his miracles. See, I believe many people in life get focused on mission of a moment that can possibly lead them to destiny. But sometimes that takes looking and being willing to ask questions. Recently, I have a friend who is part of Vital Men, and he usually asks a lot of questions, and I appreciate his asking. He asked me, what is Ash Wednesday, and what is Lent? What does it mean? And I love it, again, when men ask questions, seeking to find information, seeking to find truth, and all of us should be doing that, looking for information and seeking truth. And I told him this, that Ash Wednesday was the beginning of, much began as a Catholic tradition of taking last year's palm branches, burning them, and using them to put as a cross on your forehead, signifying your faith in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice that he did on the cross. It's a remembrance. And Lent, it is the beginning of the 40-day journey before Easter in which some Christians give up something as a sacrifice for Jesus before Easter. I gave him just what I call basic illustrations on both of them, not trying to make it complicated, but simply speaking truth. And I think that's important for us today. We don't have to be getting complicated in the midst of faith, but we just speak truth. We just do it and speak it truth and love. I find the Gospels that Jesus was much kept things, what I read, simple, and how he spoke, and also too, he used life lessons of illustration so the people could understand it. He kept it simple. He kept it real. He kept it alive, but also too pointed that he was the Messiah and that he was the Son of God himself. My hopes this morning is that we can do something with this encounter of the mission between Nicodemus and Jesus. But before we get into that, it's always good, what I think, before we get into the teaching, is getting a little bit of background to kind of help set it up this morning to give us a better understanding of why things happen. See, Nicodemus, he was a Pharisee. He was part of what I call the elite group of Jews who were fastidious in keeping every letter of the law. They kept the Old Testament books of the Bible, and especially the first five books of the Bible that were written by Moses. They were called the Book of the Law. These men were fully devoted to what I call, not so much faith, but legalism. Bondage by the law, and they imparted that bondage even more on the Jewish people themselves. All about law. You got to do this, you got to do that in order to make it to heaven and to be valued by God himself. They believed it, and they were trying to get the people of the Jewish nation to believe the same thing. See, even today when you visit Israel, you will still see sects of Pharisees devout to God and still don't recognize Jesus as the Messiah, but rather a prophet who spoke in their minds for some false teachings, and some he was just simply a prophet. See, there are men that, these were the Pharisees, these were men who opposed Jesus and his teachings. Even his miracles they wouldn't believe. These Pharisees were part of the Sanhedrin during Jesus' walk on earth. They were part of the lower courts under Roman rule. They were given a minimal self-rule, and Nicodemus was part of the great Sanhedrin itself, who eventually brought false accusations against Jesus, the great Sanhedrin did, and eventually brought them to the Roman official Pontius Pilate, who ordered Jesus' crucifixion on the cross. See, this gives us a little bit of background, so let's look at Nicodemus, at that late night mission to find truth that helped him understand and see Jesus' mission that ultimately, I believe, changed Nicodemus' faith in Jesus, which led to possibly changing his destiny. We don't get a lot of background. The Bible doesn't tell us much. We only have three encounters of what we see with Nicodemus. But this first encounter is a big one. And I hope that this morning, if maybe you're home and you're writing down the points and you want to keep track with us, we're actually going to go to John chapter 3. And my point number one this morning is this: don't be afraid to ask questions. So let's look at John chapter 3 verses 1 through 8 this morning and get a glimpse of that late night conversation of looking for what was mission, which I believe eventually led to destiny. See, there was a man by the name of Nicodemus. Sometimes I get so fired up, I speak so fast that I get dry mouth. So there was a man by the name of Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After a dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. He says, "Rabbi, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you." But this is the response that Jesus gives to Nicodemus. He says, "I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus, he makes this response. He asks this question: "What do you mean? How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" Jesus makes this response. He says this: "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and of the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to the spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it is going. So you can't explain how people are born in the Spirit." See, there's a lot of stuff that's going on here in these questions. But as we look at it, see, first, Nicodemus, he recognizes his two things about Jesus. This is important. First thing, he says that God, we know that God had sent Jesus to teach them. They recognize that. They're beginning to get a glimpse of what I call of truth. Then he says this, he says that his miracles were a sign that God was truly with him. You know, we don't know if the great Sanhedrin recognized this, or was it Nicodemus and a few other religious rulers? See, this in itself helps me to realize that the Sanhedrin saw something in Jesus that was different from the other prophets who were having a voice during that time and culture. He even recognizes that Jesus, he calls him Rabbi, which means teacher. So he recognizes him a man of authority and a man who understands the Bible, the scripture. See, they literally had the Messiah in front of them, the Jewish people did, but yet they still couldn't see him. They literally missed his message of bringing the good news of the gospel. You know, I think even today, what Jesus could do in a lot of people's lives, but they miss it because of all the voices that we hear in our culture. We have become a people who think we can change. In my mind, we think we can change the climate itself, and the minds of many even think that we can become our own gods. We miss the miraculous all because we live a life of fear. We've allowed our churches to become merely social clubs and wanting our pastors or teachers to teach us only what makes us feel good. Messages as to showing what truth is as to what the Bible says. We want to live what I call comfortable faith. See, this week I got to go to class with Joe Gumont. He's a deputy sheriff, a police officer also in this small community of New Sharon, and he is also a pastor of a church in Tanner. See, he shared with me how important it was to preach out of the Bible, God's truth. That they had just finished spending 14 months going through the book of John. I could see in Joe's eyes as he talked to me, his eyes lit up when he talked about what he was preaching. See, John is a man with a heart on fire for Jesus. The kind of man you like hanging out with. See, as we look at this further in the Bible, it says John, in looking at through the scriptures and living a life of faith, he found his mission in life. It was to be a law officer and keeping the peace. But see, he's also not only a law officer, a deputy sheriff, but he's also a pastor to which he is living out his destiny. We are privileged in Mahaska County, in my mind, to have a deputy like John Gumar. See, I keep saying John, I mean Joe Gumar. I think in some respects, Nicodemus comes that night reevaluating his own life and his mission. And see, Jesus used that late night conversation to make him to ask deeper questions. See, Jesus first told Nicodemus that he must be born again, that he wouldn't enter God's kingdom unless he did. Now, bear in mind, Nicodemus, it states in the Bible that he calls himself even an older man. And how can an older man go back into the womb of his mother and have a physical rebirth? But see, Jesus wasn't talking about that. He wasn't talking about the physical rebirth. He was talking about the spiritual rebirth. And it was hard for Nicodemus to understand that, because in my mind, Nicodemus had what I call comfortable religion. See, Jesus, he speaks to Nicodemus about rebirth, and it requires two things of him: water and the Spirit. See, that was hard for this old man to wrap his mind around it. He'd never heard that before. This was a new teaching to being born in the Spirit. See, I truly believe this, in which what Jesus was trying to say. See, when you ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior, that is the beginning of being born in the Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit covers over you. The Spirit speaks to you. He leads you, and you can even hear His voice. But the Holy Spirit is unique in how He moves. See, you can't see Him. See, that's the reason why Jesus used the wind as an illustration. He's like the wind that moves. You can see the trees oftentimes in the midst. You know, think with me, almost a week ago over the weekend, we had that horrific storm that went through the state of Iowa. It was terrible, tornadoes and stuff. And we could feel the wind, we could hear the wind, and we could see the wind moving the trees, yet we couldn't see it. But it was there. It was moving with a mighty force. That's what Jesus was trying to illustrate to Nicodemus, to help him to understand what it meant to be born of the water and the Spirit. And that's important for us today. If we're going to live a life on mission, to understanding the direction of our destiny, we first have to ask Jesus Christ to be our Savior and Lord. That leads us to our next question that Nicodemus asks that night. My next point, if you're writing it down, is this, point number two: the lack of believing. And we're going to continue in the book of John, reading from 9 through 15, and get a little bit more of the story of exactly what is going on. It says this: Nicodemus asked this question, "How are these things possible?" Here's Jesus' response. He says, "You are a respected teacher, and yet you don't understand these things. I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on the pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in Him will have eternal life." Man, there is a bunch in this portion of the Bible. But see, I like how Jesus handles the moment. He does it with such great respect for Nicodemus. He sees that Nicodemus is a respected Jewish teacher. He doesn't discredit him for what he is. He keeps him in the conversation, knowing that Nicodemus lacks believing in who he is and, for the most part, what his mission is. See, he talks with his lack of believing to what Jesus was doing for the people in the physical. So how in the world could he ever understand and believe what Jesus was doing in the spiritual? See, it's much like that, I believe, even today, in our time. People lack belief in what the prophets are saying and hearing from God. So how can they believe what God is doing in the spiritual realms? Now, I do listen to many prophets, and I encourage you to get on. You got to do some discerning if you listen to them. I like Robin Bullock. He's an incredible man of God, and I believe is also a great prophet. I like Hank Kuhneman from Omaha, Nebraska, another prophet, another pastor who I believe that God has ordained him and speaking to him in moments of what our nation is going through. Another one, if you want to look up on YouTube, is Wanda Alger. She does another beautiful job. She is an incredible teacher. And also, too, the one we've got coming to our community on April 10th of Julie Green. I highly recommend that you get on YouTube and you look up these prophets and hear what they have to say. See, I believe that God is turning in my mind. I believe this with all that's within me, that I believe that God is truly turning things around, that he's showing us what is true and what is not. We are seeing such a great shaking across our nation, and not only in the world, then that we're realizing that truly that our government is corrupt, that we have weak leadership all the way to the top of who's leading our nation, and that we have become people who lack belief and have become tolerant of what's wrong and what the enemy is doing and how he is working in our nation. That we too have a moment of what I call a lack of believing of faith. Yet I believe one of the greatest revivals known to our time is about to be launched over our nation. That God is raising men and women into leadership that will help our nation turn its eyes back on God. And I don't know about you, but even this morning, as I say these words, I get excited about thinking about what is coming. So I encourage you, in the midst of what seems in the natural, trust what you see in the spiritual realms. Yes, without a doubt, our nation is under one of the greatest shakings that I've seen since the time of the Great Depression. But I believe that God will prevail. He will show us we serve a God of promises, and we will see good things again. But we have to go through troubled times, trials, things of which we don't understand in order for us to believe of what God is doing. And I believe that's exactly of what's happening in the midst of our nation. We have to have a shaking in the Supreme Court to turn things around so that we can get back to what the truth is. So we can get back of what our nation has done, what I believe an incredible sin of aborting young life. It is wrong, it is sin, and we have accountability in it. I also too believe that where our nation is under false identity, where we simply have men and women lacking what their identity is and wanting to have changes in their sexual identity and making our schools teach such hypocrisy that it has led us down a slope of unbelief. See, I believe that Jesus Christ can truly heal our land, but first what has to happen, folks, is we have to come and confess our sins of what we've done against our Lord. See, folks, that will bring revival and that will bring a new mission, not only to people themselves to help them to believe, but it bring a new mission in the midst of our nation. Which leads me to my final point this morning. The light will bring your destiny. Now let's continue in John chapter 3 as we look at starting with verse 16. For this is how God so loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on the fact God's light came into the world, But people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light, so others can see they are doing what God wants. Man, aren't those incredible words? And not about you, just the inspiration. Man, I am running out of time this morning, but we're going to keep moving. See, I believe this, folks. People, we have a choice in life to either seek the light of Christ or the darkness of the world itself. When you become a person of light, you walk in light. And not only do you walk in light, you walk in your destiny of your future. Not only on earth, but I believe in the kingdom that is yet to come, the kingdom of heaven itself. So we have a choice in our life, of our mission, of our everyday, ordinary life, much like Joe Gumont, who not only, like I said in the very beginning of the of our teaching today, not only is he a deputy sheriff, but he's a pastor. He's living his life of mission, of the calling of protecting and doing law, but God is putting him into his destiny where he uses what he has learned on the streets to go to speak to people on Sunday morning. I don't know about you folks, but I like men like Joe Gumont. Men who are full of faith and who do not fear. See, this morning I got a couple of quotes that I want to share with you before we end. This one comes from Ravi Zacharias. He says this: "There is no greater discovery than seeing God as the author of your destiny." Do you believe that this morning? I believe that. That God is the one. The great discovery for every person this morning is to realize that God is the author of your destiny. Which, in closing, I want to read this verse. Comes from Jeremiah 17:10. "I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve." That, my friends, is an incredible word of God that speaks to destiny. How about you this morning? Do you lack believing? Have you become comfortable in your faith where it's more comfortable in religion as opposed to living a life on mission so that you can encounter your destiny? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, again, I want to thank you this morning for allowing us to read about you and your words. That John 3:16 is so amazing, that for God so loved us that he sent you to come to our earth, to come to the place and reside amongst men, to die for our sins, to be placed on a cross in shame for us. And yet you go and you did it because that was the destiny. And that you rose from the dead 3 days later, and now you sit at the right hand of the Father waiting to come again. The second coming. Lord, we love you. I pray that you would heal our land, that we would come as a nation to confess our sins before you, that every man and child would realize that we need you, and that will in itself reshape our nation. Lord, thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you for helping us in the midst of our unbelief. We thank you in your precious holy name, Jesus. Amen. Folks, this is exciting times. We are experiencing and seeing the Bible actually open up, and we're experiencing end times. How awesome is that? I can't wait for next week. We're going to continue our story of living a life on mission which leads to your destiny. I am Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.